medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshall, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the Business Solutions Lead at Colas IS Support. Back with me this week, not yet quite at every week, is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Hout Cooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Paul,
yes.
Did you know that if our listeners have questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, they can contact us?
I did.
Do you know the email address?
I know it's super long.
It is very long. It's the JDE Connection at questoraclecommunity.org.
Yes, we should get a prize for that.
Shouldn't we?
I mean, if they still have a question by the time they're done typing that in and they're not tired, carpal tunnel already before they get
right
to the actual body of the email.
They may have forgotten what their question was.
Exactly. I mean, they've lost interest. No wonder we didn't get any emails again this week. I mean, squirrel.
How's it going this week for you, sir?
It's going pretty good. We just put out another, what are we calling them now? CSPU, Critical Security Patch Update. We've got this, the Frontier Model Security Program. We're trying to get out ahead of everything and trying to make sure that people can keep their systems patched and secured. So that just went out the door. So we did one in June, and now we've got another one in July. Not just obviously JD Edwards, but all of Oracle, you know, all their products, you know, database, middleware, doesn't matter what it is. We're just trying to get any sort of address all of vulnerabilities as they come up as quickly as possible. So that's out there for people. You can probably Google it and find it, or we can leave a link in the show notes, but that's what a lot of us have been focused on. And of course, then we're shifting to release 27, which should be out by the end of the year. At least that's what we're hoping. And before that, of course, in focus. So we've got to figure out what sessions we're going to have. And the team is fast and furious trying to figure out what they want to tell everybody about here in 2 months, I guess.
Well, yeah, just under 2 months.
Okay.
I suppose we should think about a topic for our podcast episode then, maybe.
Yeah, 2 months. It's way too early.
Way beside too early that, for us.
Yeah.
Why would we want to plan that far in advance?
Jeez. Who does that? I mean, come on.
Right.
No. We always need that stress, right? I need that pressure to really induce action. If you were this organized, this is boring. Give me a break. I can't come up with anything. Where's the stress to get creative? I need these things.
Oh, that's how you operate. I'm not that way. I like to be a little bit more planned out.
This is how being a procrastinator is a positive thing.
Oh, okay. I like the way you spun that very nicely.
Yeah, I'm going to write a book, Procrastination to Action.
Okay. What if I procrastinate reading it?
Ouch. Oh, gosh. I might be looking for a new podcast partner here soon. Okay. So how are things going with you? How's the marathon training coming? Have we signed up yet?
Huh? I haven't, but I am running 16 tomorrow. So for those that maybe didn't listen to prior episodes, I just ran a marathon on July 4th, and I'm turning around hoping to knock out another one on August 15th. So this is my first time having done multiples this close together. I've done two in a year before. I've never done basically two in 2 months. So I'll see how I feel tomorrow, and then I'll pull the trigger.
So you're leaving yourself an out. Come on.
I just signed up. I am right now. That's a lot to like bounce back that quick from. But hey, we'll see.
We'll see
how it goes.
Get pumped.
I kind of am. I'm excited to see how I feel tomorrow. I've actually felt surprisingly well and strong, quite frankly, on my runs. I mean, yeah, of course, the first week was off. I didn't run.
Newsflash, you are strong.
Just thanks.
FYI.
Thanks. That's nice of you.
Yeah.
I try. That first week was just a recovery week, just walking. And then I started running and lifting again. And then the second week, I've brought back in some speed work at the end of my runs and already jumping back up to 16 miles. So I'm so used to going a nice, small, incremental build each week with back downs here and there to go from nothing and then 6 last week and 16 this weekend seems like, oh boy, that's a recipe for injury, but I've got the base. That's what I need to remember. So I've already got the base.
This is just different. You can always learn new things and new methods. Absolutely. And new techniques. And
yeah,
that's awesome.
That's why I got a coach this time. Yes. To help me kind of figure out and navigate this different journey to try and accomplish 50 states within basically less than 10 years. We'll
less
see.
Than 10. Yep.
'Cause, well, I'm no spring chicken and not getting any younger. So just better
what
get
are you
on
talking
it.
About? You get younger with every race. Come on.
There we go. I wish. Yeah. Although the one good thing about aging is like age group changes. So, you know, qualification times and whatever. I'm just saying.
What is the professional race category after you're 40? What do they call that then?
Grandmasters?
Or the masters or something. Oh, is there a grandmaster
depends
level?
Depends on where you're racing. Yes, okay. They have a grandmasters.
I thought it was just masters because when I was doing martial arts, it was they put senior division at 38. And I started at 36, I guess. I guess I started at 36. And
in 2 years, you were.
In 2 years, I was in the senior division. I was like, what? Wait, is it? No. X-nay on the senior A. I'm like, this is impossible. But in the martial arts, guess what? You want to be in that senior division. You don't want to be going up against some 18, 19, 20-year-old that,
No.
I digress.
Speaking of coaching.
Yes.
It's a good tie-in. We have a special guest with us today, and her name is Cindy Edwards. One of the hats I will say that she wears is career coach. I have worked with Cindy off and on since 2008. And the services that I've had with Cindy have been, well, varied. I think we did some personality assessments so I could kind of figure out what my strengths were. We did resume updating. We've done cover letter work. We've done interviewing techniques, questions. So I've known Cindy quite a while. I actually have subscribed to her newsletters for years. And the one that just came out recently made me think, you know, I think it would be a really good idea to reach out to her and see if she'd be willing to come on as a guest. Because, well, there's so many things that Cindy does. Her practice has kind of expanded over the years. And I know one of the topics that came out was about kind of managing stress and resiliency. And I figured, you know, this day and age in the tech space, but I don't want to say especially, but definitely, I feel like we all have extra stress. We're all trying to do more with less. And there's a continual amount of change, I feel like, that's coming through tech. So I thought it would be great if we had Cindy on. And we could talk a little bit about managing stress and resiliency. I could definitely use it right now. So I guess it's a little self-serving too. Who knew that it was going to align this well? But here we are.
Notice I asked you about your marathon training, not about how'd your go live go.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, I'm learning. I'm learning.
You're smart. Yeah, very good. Very good. Anyway, Cindy, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. This is super fun.
Yes. I'm so excited.
I'm excited for your marathon. That's a
great deal. Thank you. You picked up some multi-sport activities too, I believe, over the years.
Yep. It's no secret. I am doing a half Ironman in Wisconsin in September. So, like you mentioned, I also have a coach. Can't do it alone these days.
Nope. That's how we learn and grow.
Yeah, I have a professional coach. As a coach, I have a coach. And then I have a coach for my Ironman training, too. Yeah, so that's pretty fun.
That's awesome. It's very cool.
It takes a team. I mean, that's
us.
Yeah, it takes a team, for sure. So yeah.
I agree. Cool. I agree.
Lots of training all around, all the time.
We're all doing it. I love
that's the name of the game.
So training.
Well, welcome, Cindy. Why don't you introduce yourself to our audience and tell us what you do and all that?
I'm Cindy Edwards. I have been a professional coach and trainer for 22 years. It's been an awesome ride. I started my practice primarily doing career transformation coaching with individuals, which includes some of the things that Chandra talked about, job search activities. But primarily, my favorite place in career transformation is helping people change jobs completely, like change occupations. That's super fun. So a lot of career selection and change, I also really love helping young people understand the market, because come out of college or they're a junior in college and they have no idea. And that's also a really fun place to help people navigate. And then over the years, I have picked up some specialties. So I also do professional development coaching. And one of my specialty areas is neurodiversity. So I help adults that have high functioning autism, ADHD, OCD, anxiety, depression, massive stress with professional development. And I often get questions around, how do I manage my stress? Should I stay in this job? Should I go? That's a top question I often get from people. Like, I don't know if I can handle this anymore, right? I don't know if I can handle the work environment or the work. So that stay or go question comes my way a lot. And then kind of the third service area that I do is just, I go into organizations and I do professional training, emotional intelligence training, Myers-Briggs training, neurodiversity training, neurodiversity for leaders, so leaders can understand their neurodiverse staff, but also neurodiversity training for employees, so they feel like they maybe have different ways to have a voice inside an organization. So amongst my peers, I'm called the brain lady. I love neuroscience. That's my jam. So I'm not going to say I'm a brain expert because it's applied neuroscience. I'm not a neurologist, but I love everything to do with the mind, the body, the brain, and how it all fits together. So
it's all connected.
Yeah, it's all connected. And then I'm a mom. I have two grown kids. I've been married for, it'll be 25 years in October. Life's good.
Yeah. That's awesome. Congrats on that. And I can't believe the kids are growing. Good grief.
I can't either.
Yeah, they're great. So that's awesome. Oh my gosh.
Pretty fun. Bittersweet, I think.
Bittersweet.
Yes, right. It's fun to see them grow and change and sprout their own wings, if you will. But then at the same time, it's a big change for parents as well. And it's sometimes tough for both.
Absolutely. It's transition.
Yeah.
And transitions is, you know, are very common in life. And it's really thinking about how we're going to handle this next transition.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what do you want to know about stress management?
Can you actually manage stress?
Is it even possible?
Is it possible? Some days I feel like it's not. When I'm awake spinning through things from 11:30 to 2 like I was the other night.
Well, I think we're doing a pretty good job right now. We're laughing a lot. So that's an amazing stress management technique, right?
Also true.
Yes. To laugh and to get together as a community, right, on a podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, these are all right here, like laughing and talking are stress relievers. So right there, it's kind of fun.
So at 2 a.m., we'll go get the mics.
We'll
call somebody up.
Bang on my door.
I'll let my team know, hey, AJ, I mean, I'm sorry, but next Sunday, 2 a.m. Just be ready.
To listen to this podcast right now.
That's right. That's so true. It's fantastic.
If you're running JD Edwards, In Focus 2026 needs to be on your calendar. Join the JDE community September 21st through the 23rd in Denver, Colorado for 3 days of education, networking, and insights into what's next for JD Edwards. Get an early look at Release 27. Learn how Oracle is enhancing JD Edwards with Redwood. Explore AI enablement opportunities and understand upcoming platform support changes that could impact your roadmap. We'll also be covering topics like orchestrations, automation, OCI, security, and modernization strategies from customers and Oracle experts. Register by June 26th. To take advantage of earliest bird pricing before rates increase. Visit questoraclecommunity.org/infocus and join us in Denver. We definitely all go through those peaks of higher stress in our life, whether it's personal or professional, or sometimes it's both at the same time, which is never a good combination, right? But when you work with clients, do you recommend different techniques for personal versus professional?
No, let's start with what stress is, if we can. Yeah. Let's back up a little bit.
Let's back up the trolley.
Yeah, let's back up the bus. So I'm going to get a little nerdy on you guys, a little embodied neuroscience, applied neuroscience on you guys, okay? And jump in if you have questions about this, but I think the thing that we don't do enough in this society is understand our stress response and what's something called the window of tolerance. So stress starts when we feel something that puts us in fight, flight, or freeze state, okay? And we have sensory systems that pick up that stress, that pick up that energy is really what I'm going to call it. And there are three sensory systems that we have. And a lot of them, we don't even notice most of the time because we're so busy doing. But we have something called interoception, which is how our body feels on the inside. So like if your stomach growls, that's interoception. If your shoulder hurts, that's interoception. If you're hot, if you're cold, interoception, okay? And our body is telling our brain and our brain is telling our body about interoception all the time. We just often don't slow down enough to listen to it. We also have exteroception, which is taste, touch, sight, smell, right? Things coming into our body, our senses, right? And those also pick up on stress, right? If we smell something funky, if we see something that's a little weird, again, if we have a scratchy sweater or lights that are bright, the senses that come into our body. And then we also have something called proprioception, which is the space around us. For example, you may not know exactly the space between, like, if you're sitting in your chair and the wall next to you, but you can kind of guess. Or if you're standing in a crowd, how close people are, you might not measure it, but you might know it. That's proprioception.
So when somebody gets inside your bubble, as we like to call it, and you're like, whoa, too close. Yeah.
Too close. Yes. Not only that, but our heart can measure 6 feet out from our body, and we can measure other heart signals through
proprioception. Oh, wow.
So, you know, if you go to the mall and it's busy, you might feel the mall. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
This is from the Heart Math Institute.
Oh, I did not know that. Oh, yeah, my gosh, so that's fascinating.
From the Heart Math Institute. So you come into that busy room and everybody's up and stressed.
Yeah.
Your mirror neurons are going to pick up that stress. Your body's going to pick up that stress. So stress is a signal that comes up your autonomic nervous system and says to your brain, be ready to fight, flight, or freeze. And that goes through your amygdala, that sense. And then your prefrontal cortex, which is your conductor of your band.
Yep.
That's what I like to say. It's the conductor of your band. Says, play faster. And there's two neurochemicals that run your prefrontal cortex. There's more than that, but we'll talk about two. One is norepinephrine and the other is dopamine. So when we are stressed out or when we have a signal of stress, sends a signal up to our prefrontal cortex. This is very simplified, by the way. Our dopamine and norepinephrine levels rise. And cortisol kicks off, which makes us protect ourselves, but it also is that thing that makes us achy.
Okay.
For reference, this, the prefrontal cortex doing this, the prefrontal cortex in neuroscience land is often called the Goldilocks of the brain because it needs your just right amount of norepinephrine and dopamine to work optimally.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
It would be called Goldilocks then.
It's called Goldilocks. I'm telling you, the signal, it picks it up and it goes up. Now, here's really a fun fact. If you are bored at work and you're struggling to get something done because it's not interesting anymore, your norepinephrine and your dopamine drop and you're out of optimal. So you have a hard time pushing yourself to start something when you're bored.
Hence the lack of motivation
when you're bored. When we are stressed out, sometimes when I'm coaching, I'll ask people, is it truly stress? Is it boredom?
Right.
Are you feeling sluggish? Are you feeling anxious? The Goldilocks.
Too much
or too little? Okay. And so all these factors, all these sensations can change the brain. So a little bit of context, right? It helps to understand the body and what's going on in the body and what's going on in the brain. So one of the first things I actually ask my clients to do is notice. So you said my racing heart at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
If you back up Was your heart racing 8 hours before that?
According to my Garmin, no.
Were you hot?
Oh.
So you held it.
Yeah.
You stored it in your body.
Somehow.
Somehow you stored it in your body. But that adrenaline kicked up into your prefrontal cortex, and that's why you didn't sleep.
Huh.
Read Dr. Matthew Walker, Why We Sleep.
Why?
The best book on the planet is not new. Well, one of the best books. You know, I'm a reader, so. But Dr. Matthew, Why We Sleep, every human should read it.
Well, I know sleep is very important for so many parts of our bodies. From an athletic performance, recovery happens when you sleep.
Yeah.
That is when your tissue can repair itself. And I also know from my experiences as well, it plays a big role in being able to manage stress, right? If you're not sleeping, you're going to be more on edge and you're not letting your body come down.
Exactly. Yeah. This is kind of funny, but people remember funny things. When you sleep deep, when you have good sleep, you flush the crap out of your brain.
Is that deep sleep or REM state?
Which can you know? Either. Sleep helps you flush. It cleanses the brain.
Yep. Very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Dr. Matthew Walker. But if you're stressed and or bored, because boredom sometimes creates like this bounce to anxiety. I should be getting my work done. I can't get engaged. It's not interesting. And then stress can stop you. I should be getting my work done. I'm not engaged. And it's all because your Goldilocks of your brain is either too much or too little. So how do we get to just right? And yeah, that's where we talk about what can we do to help with stress management. And sleep is one thing to get you to just right. But I would argue that if you're too anxious or too stressed, it will be very difficult to sleep because your brain is too filled with dopamine.
What a fabulous first part of our conversation with Cindy. Clearly, we're going to get a lot more into understanding more about stress. But I learned quite a bit today covering the sensory systems that we have. It's not just a one way in to understand things. Learning about the prefrontal cortex and the chemicals that are involved in regulating that, as well as our little Goldilocks brain. I mean, who knew absolutely. I had a Goldilocks brain? Learn something new every day. Yeah, right.
Well, speaking of learning something new, did you know how far your heart can read a room?
No, not at all. I had no idea. I just thought it was something in my body. I mean, clearly in my body, my heart is there. Go figure. But I didn't realize it was my heart. You know, you walk into a room sometimes and you just feel the stress, right? Mm-hmm. She mentioned the mall, but I think about it in terms of like walking into a workroom when you're going into a big meeting, like you can feel what's going on.
The tension. A lot of people probably refer to it as, you know, you can feel the tension in the room and it's like, oh,
yeah,
interesting. Yeah.
Very
cool. It's
kind
of blown away.
Yeah. I didn't realize that was my heart doing that.
We have such a great conversation in its entirety. I mean, we could have kept going and people, you know, hopefully tune in for the whole series because we could have easily made this a 5, 6, 8 part series as our questions just keep on popping up and popping up and popping up. It was just so, I don't know, it just triggered so many ideas, so many concepts. You could relate with so much of what Cindy was saying and she explains things so well. I really appreciate the way in which she articulates things. So I hope people are enjoying it so far. But of course, we can't end any episode without a Midwesternism. So what did we pick for dealing with stress this week?
Well, this isn't probably what I'm going to qualify as the method of choice for dealing with stress. This is not one you should use at all. But it follows the last 2 weeks where we were talking about some summertime beverages in the Midwest. I'm going to follow that pattern. And this week we're going to talk about the Midwest martini.
You know, I'm reminded of, what was it, Midwest sushi? Didn't we cover something like that? And it has nothing to do with sushi. So I can only imagine what this is.
That's fair. This might actually go well with Midwest sushi now that I think about it. I haven't tried these two together, but maybe it will. The Midwest martini is basically a cold light beer with green olives dropped into it. And if you're going to like class it up a little, maybe a little splash of olive brine.
Oh, okay. So you get at least two elements of the martini, but you do it in a cold light beer, which makes it really hard to do the James Bond shaken, not stirred, right? I mean,
ooh, good point. That could make a real mess.
Mm-hmm. I can just see somebody sitting on the front porch, cracking open a cold one, dropping in a couple olives, or literally just having the olives just stuck off the side there. And just sipping that, eating their Midwest sushi. Absolutely. So sophisticated.
But now that I say that, your Midwest sushi was your deli ham and your cream cheese and your pickle. It kind of goes well with the Midwest martini, right?
It's perfect. It's perfect. I love it. Keeping
exactly.
It simple.
That's how we roll in the Midwest.
That's right. I love
it. We keep it simple. Sure. All right. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles!
See ya! Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDEConnection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JDEdwards.